Welcome, my name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing and Global Government Venturing. With me, we have Thierry Ellis. Welcome, Thierry.
Hello, Jim. It's good to be back after a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks very much. As editor of Global University Venturing and Global Government Venturing, I'll be very keen to hear your perspectives of what's been going on that side over the past few weeks indeed, or particularly over this past week. And I wanted to start on Global Corporate Venturing and looking at the deal flow. Actually, we saw, if we do a quick look back over February, actually we saw the sort of valuation fears that perhaps were around and about have only mildly dented the February activity. It was a period of relatively sustained corporate venture investment activity, despite many in the venture capital community warning that deal activity will slow down as concerns rise about valuation that's been paid to invest in high growth startups over the past few years. Global Corporate Venturing, through our GCV analytics database, tracked 132 deals in the month. And while this would be the lowest month for deal activity since September 2014, it's actually not that much below activity in many of the months during the past 18 months, where deals have gone from anywhere from about 140 to up to 200. And it is significantly above most months in 2014, as well as prior years. One caveat we have for the February data is that some deals are actually disclosed that happened in February after the month end. So there might be some change to those overall figures, but that's the latest from the GCV analytics tool. And intriguingly, there's been limited retrenchments in the size of these earlier stage rounds. There's been a lot of talk in that corporate venture investors are doing fewer seed or early stage deals, but actually corporate back seed rounds to the Series C stage that have been tracked by GCV Analytics during 2016 have been up in the medium size against deals in 2015. However, at the later stage, the size of the rounds is decreasing. Now, the most active corporate during the month was the holding company Alphabet, which handles Google and various other of its portfolios. And Google invests and Alphabet invests through its corporate venturing units, Google Capital and GV. And these groups have been regularly one of the most active investors. And one of the things that we've been able to look through the GCV analytics toolkit is which corporate partners like working with which VC firms. And actually Arch Venture Partners, which is invested alongside Johnson & Johnson, Fidelity and Woozy Pharmatech, have been one of the most active corporate co-investors. So that's quite an interesting angle. Arch actually spun out of the University of Chicago many moons ago now, but raise their funds independently much more now, although they still do back many of the deals from Chicago region, actually. And the largest deal in February was the $793.5 million Series C round by augmented reality technology developer Magic Leap, based in the US. And that deal was led by Chinese e-commerce firm Alibaba, interestingly enough. And the biggest exit in the month of February was the sale of Revelo Systems, which we talked about in this podcast earlier, which is a US-based virtualization software development, which was sold to Oracle for about $500 million. Revelo had raised $54 million, including $28 million last year, from Qualcomm and SanDisk's corporate venturing units. So although we've seen in February the average size of particularly large-scale deals falling, actually, you know, there are still some pretty big deals being done, with Magic Leap obviously one of those. And this past week, we've seen continued activity with Snapchat, a messaging group backed by Tencent, Alibaba and Yahoo, among others. And that boosted its Series F round to more than $710 million. So nearly catching up with Magic Leap in terms of the overall amount. And it's overall funded to more than $1.3 billion. So pretty large. And the reason why they've raised so much in the Series F round, they've just taken in another $175 million from Fidelity, a mutual fund manager. Other big rounds over the past week have been Mercari, which is an e-commerce marketplace, and that has become Japan's first pre-IPO unicorn, apparently, according to some data, which raised money in a round led by Mitsui and Sumitomo Mitsui. So more financial-orientated focus for an e-commerce marketplace. So makes sense as the e-commerce and digital banking worlds completely change. Other big deals on the corporate venture side, AXA, a French insurer, invested 75 million euros, so nearly the same amount in dollars, in an e-commerce holding vehicle, Africa Internet Group. And that round has now been boosted to about 300 million euros, so that's about $326 million, with commitments from MTN, Rocket and Goldman Sachs, among others. That's been quite an interesting one. Messaging platform Slack, which has so far raised $340 million, including GV or Google Ventures, has been seeking an extra $150 million in the wake of it ramping up staff and launching a TV advertising campaign. One of the ironies has always been the internet would replace TV as an advertising format. Actually, they've been quite complementary. So while we've seen sort of YouTube and other online TV companies really boost the amount that they've raised through advertising, actually, in TV advertising, we see record amounts being advertised with Google and some of the other internet firms actually increasing the amount that they've been spending on TV advertising to get people to then go online and use their sort of products. So things very rarely disappear. They just sometimes can be benefited. Whether longer term we will see the internet much more replace TV advertising, definitely think that's likely to see in the same way that we saw print advertising fall off a cliff over the years. So Slack being exciting, looking to raise more money. Other big deals on the corporate venture side, we've had Influitive, creator of an advocacy marketing platform. Not actually too sure what advocacy marketing platform. It sounds like PR to me. It's raised $30 million. It's now attracted yet more funding from that $30 million round in July. And to help it, NTT Docomo has helped to add an extra $9 million. For those interested in the healthcare software side, we've got an interesting interview with John Norris of Silicon Valley Bank. He spoke to GCV about the developments. And it's been a bit quieter after a busy few weeks on the healthcare side on that bit. But do catch up with John's interview with GCV to get a good sense of what's been happening on that side. But to go alongside the e-commerce rounds that we've seen earlier with Mercari, actually, if we look in the Middle East and parts of Asia, we've seen Souq.com raise more than $270 million at a reported $1 billion-plus valuation. And Naspers, a South Africa-based media company, was among those investors. Naspers had earlier in the past few weeks provided $250 million to another online e-commerce company called Ibibo in India. So we've seen plenty of activity, online parking, online travel. Lux has raised $50 million round from Hertz, a travel company that were valued at $160 million, and Alphabet, maybe through GV or Google Capital, but maybe just itself could be among the investors that could back that round for Lux. So corporate venturing has been pretty active, particularly in February in this past week. But Thierry, what have you been seeing on the GGV government and Gov University side?
Well, we've had the biggest deal on GGV has actually been one that you just mentioned now, is Souq, the e-commerce platform, which has also had the International Finance Corporation involved in the round, the private sector lending arm of the World Bank. So that is certainly the biggest deal of the week and possibly one of the bigger deals that we see on GGV in general, because deals tend to be rather small that do come through around the kind of seed stage to about $20 million range.
Which makes sense, given that governments are very much keen to develop the ecosystem and then hope and rely on the private capital to come through later. So interesting if IFC is really sort of backing some of these later stage rounds, almost in one sense. That seems quite a new trend to identify.
Yeah, we'll see whether that was a fluke or we'll see more of those deals. There's certainly been quite a lot of big new funds coming through on the government side. We've almost not been able to catch up with all of them. But we've had two interesting ones this week, amongst many others. There's been one by Vertex Venture Holdings, the investment arm of Singaporean state fund Temasek, that's closed at $150 million now, and that's going to go to Israeli-based startups.
Oh, interesting.
Coming quite close on the heels of Temasek's own $150 million fund called Red Dot, which is also targeting Israel-based startups. So Singapore's definitely increasing its focus on that region.
Very interesting. So Temasek, in effect, playing two different angles. We might see Red Dot invest alongside Vertex in the same sorts of deals, perhaps.
Certainly possible. And then we've had the European Investment Fund and the European Investment Bank have signed a deal with an Israel bank called Loimitech, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, through their Innofin initiative, which is gonna give startups in the country access to about $100 million.
Wow, so the startup nation in Israel is really ramping up and getting more funding coming its way. It's obviously been successful.
Yeah, it's definitely, hopefully that will lead to quite some interesting technologies coming out in the next few years. And then, where were we? We've had, on the university side, we have two funds this week coming out. Purdue University has launched a $10 million fund on the heels of its successes from the last year, where it's launched 40 new companies and 25 of those were spin-out companies and the rest were startups. And then similarly, Oregon State University has launched a fund, and they're not quite sure about the size yet. They're aiming between $10 and $20 million there, but the university has already committed to providing about a fifth of the capital, and the remainder is going to come from a venture capital firm called Rogue Venture Partners, which is putting in $4 million at the moment, and then they're going to try and raise the rest.
Very good. And anything happening on the deal side in the university space?
On the deal side, we've had an MIT spin out called Arctic Sand Technologies, which is working on LED boosting technology and apparently trying to make devices run more efficiently with smaller batteries.
Hmm.
And they raised $90 million in their Series B round. In a round that also featured GE Ventures, the corporate venturing subsidiary of General Electric. So again, kind of a nice crossover with the corporate venturing world there.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very exciting. And any people moves? So we haven't seen too many sort of people moves on the corporate side. I think we've got a couple that we should be publishing next week. But anything on the government or university side?
We've had a couple. There's on the university side, and I do apologise in advance, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her name. Monika Gajewska, I'm guessing. It looks like a Polish name, I'm not quite sure. But she's become the new head of the Set Squared Centre at Bristol University. Now, Set Squared, obviously, the collaboration between Bristol, Bath, Exeter, Southampton and Surrey.
Mm.
And she's taking that job over just this week, so we'll see whether that leads to any significant changes. Although Set Squared seems to be doing quite well, top one incubator in the world, so I doubt there'll be too many changes happening. And then on the government side, we have Michael Fernandez, who up until recently headed the healthcare portfolio for Khazanah Nasional, the Malaysian Sovereign Wealth Fund, moving on to Leapfrog Investments to head up their South and Southeast Asian operations.
Oh, interesting. Well, I know the sort of Malaysia government has been slightly rocked by some scandals over there, and Khazanah has been at the forefront of trying to repair some of the portfolio companies. I think their national airline being a prime example. But interesting to see that the head leaving to join a venture capital and private equity firm, Leapfrog, which has made some good money. So
yeah.
Interesting there. Anything in the West?
We have in the UK, close to home, we have Ben Brabin, the former chief operating officer of the UK Trade and Investments Innovation Gateway, moving on to becoming the head of Technology Accelerator Level 39. So he's gonna head that up. He's got quite an interesting CV. He's worked with more than 100 venture capital, corporate investors, institutional investors during his career. So he's certainly packing a punch. Level 39 is probably quite happy to have him on board.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, they focus much more on the fintech out of Canary Wharf in the City of London. So that's a good move, obviously, for Ben, and obviously very good for Level 39. My understanding is UK Trade Investment, they have a specific venture capital unit, and although there will be some sort of reorganisation happening there this year, it's likely to be that the VC unit retains its role and focus. They've been doing some excellent work over the past couple of years. So it's interesting to see how those changes will affect that VC unit and the broader changes that will happen between UKTI as part of Business Innovation Skills Department and the Foreign and Commonwealth Operation. I think there's some changes happening on that side, but interesting people move there. Be good to see more happening. Well, Thierry, thank you very much for that update from Global University Venturing and Global Government Venturing. Thank you very much for the update. And from my side, thanks to you all for listening. And if there's anything we could do to help or any feedback, please don't hesitate to get in touch at jmawson@globalcorporateventuring.com. Thanks. Best wishes, everyone.
Have a good week. Goodbye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.